On this morning, and we are in the book of Revelation. If you would turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I want to read just a few verses from there, and then I'm going to move on. You'll be familiar with this from Matthew 24, but this is Luke's version. And what is happening here is it starts out by talking about giving into the treasury and how some of them, you know, were sort of boasting of what they were giving. And then the little widow came in and put in two mites or two pennies. And Jesus said, "You have given out of your treasure." In other words, they had given. Do what, honey?
More than the others. She's assisting with the two.
Okay.
That's right. Amen.
Did she take her medicine this morning? Stacy, you have one job on Sunday morning. I mean, surely you can do one job. But at any rate, as my illustrious assistant said, Jesus said, "You have given out of your treasure." In other words, these people had given some of what they had. He said, "But this woman hath given all that she has." And so then they come out of the temple, and you'll recall that they were telling Jesus, "Oh, look how goodly and at the stones and all the trimmings and everything." And Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you this. The day is coming when there will not be one stone left upon another." What he was saying to them was this. And what he's saying to us this morning is this. Don't get your mind on this world.
Amen.
Don't put any emphasis on this building. Because this building one day will not have one brick left upon another. And so he comes on and he So they said, "Well, Lord, then what shall be the signs of your coming?" Because they knew, "Hey, this thing's going to be torn down and not a stone left. That must mean you're coming." And so then he goes on to give them signs of the times. And he says, "You'll hear of wars and commotions," or wars, and Matthew says, "and rumors of wars." Folks, if you ain't hearing that today, you ain't hearing. I mean, it's everywhere. "And there will be earthquakes." Well, my goodness, we just had a huge one in Morocco. Killed, at that time, it's like 2,400. I don't know if the count's gone up or not. They haven't found them all, I don't believe. And other tragedies, he says, in Liberia, a flood. It's untelling how many's died from that. All this stuff is going on. He says, "But when you see these things and hear these things, the time's not yet. That's just the beginning." And then he comes on, and then he talks about going from what could happen here on earth to what can happen in the heavens. He says, "For the time is coming when the heavens are going to be shaken." And he says, "And men's hearts shall fail them from fear." Now I got to thinking about that. What would it take to scare people just right out of their wits? Take a lot. I mean, we had 9/11, and right at, you know, when 9/11 happened, people were afraid. You saw them running down the streets, they were afraid. But 20 years later, they don't even remember it. So the fear was sort of artificial, wasn't it? You know, my wife and I, we watch a channel on TV. I'm sure some of you ladies watch it. HGTV. We love HGTV. Now, Jimmy and Lynn get a lot of their... Jimmy gets a lot of his ideas from HGTV. And you know, most of the shows on HGTV are about rehab. I've been through rehab, haven't I, Jimmy? Haven't I, Lynn? Many in here, I'm sure, have went through rehab. If you're going to rehab your home, they have a day that they call demo day. Because if you're going to build something new, you're going to have to tear out the old. So what they tell you is this. Now follow me, I'm talking spiritually now, I'm not talking about HGTV. What they say is this, if you've got anything valuable, you want to move it out. And you want to let us know what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep. Because once we come in for demo day, we're going to tear it all up. Because we have to tear it up to take it out so that we can put the new in. And so what they do is they come in there with a sledgehammer. It looks like fun. I don't know. It looks like it'd be good therapy. I think the ladies would really enjoy that therapy. You know, they would like to hit something. Just ask Jimmy. They would like to hit something, whether it's with a 2x4 or a sledgehammer. They would like to hit something because, oh, I can't stand him. He's killing me. And so they come in with the sledgehammer. And boy, they just start hitting the walls, the cabinets, the counters, the floors. Everything is just getting hammered and broken up and torn up and carried out so that they can come in and put something new. Let me tell you something. The day you came to Christ for salvation, that's what He did with you. Because He said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I had to tear up your life entirely and carry it out and throw it behind me in the dumpster that is behind me that I'll never see again. And I've made you new. Well, if He did that for us, you don't think a God that would do what He's done for us would want to put us in a place that was different than us. So what He's going to do, He's going to take the sledgehammer to this world. He'll break every bit of it up. Why? So He can make us a new place that suits the new person that He's made us. And so if you read the Minor Prophets, which I hope you have, along with our pastor teaching it, it'd be quite helpful if you read it when he's teaching it. What they talk about, and we've said so many times, in that, see how they listen. They never have listened to me, but I've noticed if I ask them something about you said, boy, they just blurt it out. In that day. And it talks about what's going to happen in that day. It talks about the heavens being shaken. It talks about the stars falling. It talks about all these things in that day. Well, John ain't talking about that day. That day is this day when John sees it. You know, it's like I'll give you this illustration. It's not a good one. It's the only one I could come up with. Let's say that you came home and you said, Jimmy says to Andrew, he says, honey, you wouldn't believe about that wreck on I-26 that I heard about. They said that it was awful. They said that the car was thrown everywhere and people were laying in the street and it was just a horrible thing to see is what they told me. It'd be a far different thing if Jimmy came home and said, Angie, you wouldn't believe what I saw. Yeah. Not what somebody told me happened, but what I saw. John's seeing it. John's seeing that day. And it is a horrible day. The Bible calls it a terrible day. It is the terrible day of God, it says. And even after all that John sees happen on that day, and he knows all the destruction that's coming, all the deaths that are coming, at the end, he utters these words. Even so. I'm going to paraphrase it. You know how it ends. Even so. Bring on that day. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so. Bring that day to pass. As bad as it is. Even though it's demo day. You know, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous. You know, in Noah's day, the antediluvian world, not one drop of rain fell. Until when? Until everyone that was promised security and safety and deliverance was in that place of security and safety and deliverance. Noah and his family. Once they got in, the door shut. And I'm telling you, without any hesitation nor doubt, as soon as that door shut, raindrops are falling on my head. They knew then what Noah had preached for 120 years was true. But the door was shut. Now it's demo time. Same thing in Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? The angels told Lot, he says, Lot, come quickly. Get out of here. For I can't do anything until you are safe. And as soon as they entered into the place of safety, the sun rose that morning, it says, and the Lord rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He took the sledgehammer to it. You know, I know we don't like to think about God taking a hammer to us. But one day, folks, God's going to take a hammer to this place. If your children are here and they're not in the place of safety, the hammer's going to hit them. Not just the world. Those that dwell in it. File that, it'll come to you. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up. What I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read it to you. So that was Luke 21. Now if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, we see it in somewhat of a different way, but in the same message. Now everyone is aware of Hebrews, correct? Hebrews is about this. Hebrews is about the Jewish people who were attached to the law and they didn't want to give up the law and the ceremonies of the law. And the writer of Hebrews is saying this, look, no, that's no good anymore. You have to step across the line to Christ. Because if you don't, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins. You can stay in the law if you want to. That's your choice. Remember, he gives us choices. He says, but if you do, there remaineth no sacrifice for sin. Well, if you don't get a sacrifice for your sin, what does that mean? What does that mean? You have to pay for your own sin. Well, God's going to take the hammer to those that want to pay for their own sin. God's not going to love you. God's going to pour out wrath on you. He gave you that choice. Step over to my son, and I'll deliver you. But if you stay back there in your arrogance and your stubbornness and your pride, one day, bless God, you're going to pay for it. Hey, I've told you this. I'll keep telling it because I think it's the key to the whole Word of God. I have set before you this day. Blessing. Well, where's the blessing? Bless God, it's over here with my son. And cursing. Well, where's the cursing? Well, it's back here without my son. Life. Where's life? It's over here with my son. Death. Where's death? It's back here without my son. I've set that there. Choose it. Remember, glory. I've even said to you, God's like this. You know, you're doing something with a little child, you know, and you know how we used to put her hand behind her. We'd have something in one hand and nothing in the other. And you want to make sure the little thing chose right. You know what I mean? You'd go ahead, choose. Well, you know they're going to hit that because you want them to. That's what God does. God says, go ahead, choose. Life. This is death. Life. You know what the world's doing? Oh, no, I want that back there. Well, that back there not only gives you death, folks, it gives you destruction on demo day. Demo day's coming. I know nobody wants to believe that in the world. Nobody wants to think they're going to hell. No one wants to think that God's going to let the stars fall on this earth one day. But he is. It's demo day. I'll show it to you. It's in here. I don't make this stuff up. I did make up the demo part. You know, I did say demo day. I come up with that through the Holy Spirit, I think, because that's how I came up with it. But in chapter 12 of Hebrews, now everyone knows what chapter 11 is about, right? It's that great chapter of faith. Now, what is faith? Come on, impress the pastor. What is faith? I didn't ask the pastor. What is faith? Impress the pastor. No. What is faith? Now, come on. We've been down this road too many times. Please don't let me down. Now, that's a verse. No, I don't want the verse. I know the verse. I want to know what faith is. I'm coming back here. Amy, bless her heart. She's drying. She's straining her head. She's trying to come up. There's a dollar there on the floor, honey. I never miss a dollar. I'll help y'all. Y'all can't remember nothing. Listen, faith is Christ. Faith is trust. Well, if you don't trust in what Christ has done, if you don't trust in the finished work of Christ, you have no faith. You can trust something, but you're not trusting something that'll last. So in faith, he says, by faith this one, and by faith that one. What does that mean? That means by faith Abraham trusted God and what God said. By faith Moses trusted God, but what God said. He believed what God said. He trusted what God said. And then it comes to the end of chapter 11, and he says, I'm exhausted. He says, time wouldn't permit for me to tell you all of them. There wouldn't be enough volumes if I told you all of them. I've given you enough where you know. And then he comes to chapter 12, and you know how it starts out? Wherefore? Or therefore? Or what's that therefore? So after he talks about faith, he says this. Now remember what Hebrews is about. Remember? Somebody tell me real quick what it's about. Huh? No. You know, they're right here. They're right here. And he's trying to get them to step over. And they're wanting to stay back here. And that's what it's about. That's the whole book. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. Getting them over to Christ. And so he says, now, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Well, what's the sin? They won't believe in Christ. The sin that does so easily beset us. They were locked into the law. And they had to let go of it. That was what faith is. Faith is just letting go and believing God about His Son. And believing God about yourself. That you need His Son. That will save you. That's why it says faith without works is dead. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is the race? What is the race there? What is the race? It starts with an L. The next letter is I. Life. And run with patience the life that is set before you. Don't run your own race. Run the race I've told you to run. And how do you run that race? Thank you. I knew y'all get that. Looking unto, see what faith is? You're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, let me ask you this. Who started in Genesis? Who started it all? God. In Revelation, who's going to end it all? Well, it would appear to me, not as an intelligent person, not as an intellectual person, not as an educated person, but as someone with some common Irwin sense, that I need to believe the person that starts it and the person that finishes it. Otherwise, I'll never get started, but I'll certainly finish. The wrong way. So he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down thrice. That's why he's saying, step over here. Jesus has done it all. He loved doing it for you. He endured the cross for you. Praise God. I'll read this to you. I'm going fast, I can. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bride? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's the only way to avoid demo day. I even tried to rhyme it for you. The only way to avoid demo day. I try my best to help you. For consider him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that tells you? Here's what it tells you, Jimmy. You're the only one to listen to me. Here's what it tells you. He loved you so much that he endured the cross. The only way to get you over here to him. The only way he endured that for you. He put the shame, he just accepted it. But he didn't stop there, Jimmy. Because he knows you're in the flesh. And he sits there at the right hand of God. Every day. Making intercession for you. Why? So that you get there. He says, I'm saving you. I'm securing you. And bless God, I'm going to deliver you. Hallelujah. I like that. I don't know about y'all. I'm liking it. So here's what he says. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest any time be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He says, what are you complaining about? You've not went through what I had to go through. What are you talking about? You're getting tired of trying to live this life. You're getting tired of trying to run this race. Bless God, you didn't go through what I went through, he says. Perk up! I've saved you. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Amen.
And you know what? He says, he's going to deliver you on the day that he makes up his jewels. You know what that means, don't you? I'll help you. I love this. This is so good. He says, I'm getting ready to tear this place up. But I'm going to go in first because I got some valuable things in there. And I'm going to get them. Bless God, and I'm going to take them out of there. They ain't going to get hit with the hammer. They're mine. Yep. Oh, glory, I like being his.
Yeah. Amen.
He says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest any of you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Sometimes we forget we're children of God. There ain't nothing we can't do. Because there's nothing our Father can't do.
Yeah.
We're his children. You see, Tom, I thought you were talking about them all day. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm over there if you don't care. Here's what he says over here now. He says in verse 16, lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I mean, for one moment of pleasure, he sold his birthright. Folks, there's so many Esaus in this world, it's not even funny.
Right.
For one moment of pleasure, they've sold their right to God. And here's what happens when you do. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of. These people think they're just going to repent whenever they want to. The Bible says, if you be not drawn, you cannot come.
Amen.
The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's not changed, folks. You don't just come to repentance on your timetable. Unless you hear the gospel, get the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God, you ain't never going to repent. You say, Tom, you can't prove that. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can. He says this, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, they remember what he said? He says, in that day, men's hearts shall fail them for
fear.
Too late. Too late. And then he comes on down there and he says this, for ye are not come into the mount that might be touched and that burneth with fire and unto blackness and darkness. Now, he's talking about the mount that Moses went up, right? And even when Moses went up to get there, and Jesus said, you make sure those people don't touch one foot on this mountain now. I'll kill them. I'll kill them. What was that? That's the law. Look, I know people say that we're not under law, but under grace. Bless God, if you ain't under grace, you're under law. God's law is not. He said, I didn't come to do away with law. I come to fulfill it. So what you better do is get out from under the law and get under grace. And he says, but you're not come to that mountain. You come to a different mountain. It's the mountain of grace. It's eternal one. We got people that go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. That are trying to get there by going up the wrong mountain.
Yeah.
when all they'd have to do, believe God, accept his son, be made new, and go to heaven. So that's what he talked about. Now, he comes on up there and he says this. He says this, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And Jesus, the mediator of the new promise. What was the old promise? The law. Keep the law. He said, if you keep my commandments, I'll bless you. But then he said, well, I'm going to make a new covenant. Which 1 John tells us is not really a new covenant. It's the old covenant made new. You know, the Old Testament, New Testament. I can't do that like our pastor. They escape not who refused him that spake on earth. Moses. No, you know, sometimes, remember they came to Moses, they said, now Moses, you take too much on yourself. You know, listen, we're all holy. You remember that, don't you? We're all holy. You take too much to yourself. We're all holy. Moses said, oh, you are? I tell you what, boys, it's since you think that way, you just meet me up to tabernacle in the morning. You bring all your buddies up to the tabernacle. We'll find out whether I'm right or whether you're right. Whether God has set me apart to do this or whether we indeed are all holy. You just come on up. The 250,000 showed up. They found out they weren't holy. And without holiness, no man shall see God. And so what happened was this. The earth opened up. And they just went down. Well, you don't think God's going to punish them different than he's going to punish people today, do you? I mean, these people, all these people say, oh, we're all holy. You know, we're all okay. You know, somebody dies and, well, they're up there looking down. Not without Christ, they're not looking anywhere. They might be looking up. I doubt they're looking. Because the Bible says it's a place of darkness. You have no need to look in the dark. You can't see nothing. You might strain your eyes, but you ain't going to see anything. So he says this. And to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse him not that speaketh forth, they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Did it shake the earth when he gave those the law? You better believe it did. The Bible says it did. But he says this. But now he hath John seeing the promise fulfilled, folks. The promises of God are always, say it loud, honey. Yay. Never. In other words, his promises always come to fruition. Always. If he promises you, Becky, you're the only one listening, honey, so I'm going to talk to you. If he promises you, whosoever shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If he promises you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that could never be anything different than that? But he also says this. Remember the rich man? And he said, oh, I'll say to my soul, take thine ease. Or just recline back. Sort of like me and my son dance, you know. Just rest back there. He says, I will say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry, for thou hast much laid up But then God said, what? Say it loud, honey.
Thou fool.
Oh, you don't want God to call you a fool. You know, he tells us not to call one another fools. You know, he says, don't do that. But he can. If he calls you a fool, what is he saying to you? Tell me, Richard, what he's saying to a person that he says, thou fool. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says this, for the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So he says, hey, son, let me let you in on a little secret. There is a God. And I'm going to dictate this thing. Tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. You're going to be dead tonight. You're going to understand I have your life in my hand. And if I want to bless God, close it. You're done. And you're going to find that out the hard way tonight. And then he says, and then whose shall these things be? Sort of like our pastor. He's laid up all this stuff over there at his house. His children are just waiting. Because they know that after he's gone, they're going to come in like vultures and start fighting over it. No, Daddy said I could have that. Oh, he did not. He told me I could have it. Just teasing. I want them to go before my brother. No. So here's what he says. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, there's going to be one more time when I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now look at chapter 6. I'm going to tell you what it says, and it'll all fit in for you. He says, and I saw. When he had opened the fifth seal, that under the altar, the souls of them that have been slain. The word slain there means sacrificed, slaughtered. Just like you would take an animal, Susie, and slaughter it for the sacrifice. He says, I saw under the altar them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Here's what it says. I saw these people. You know, sometimes when we see the word soul in the Bible, we think of, you know, and we think of these ghost stories on TV where things are just floating around through, you know, and trying to scare people. No. Get that away from you. You ain't going to be that in hell, and you ain't going to be that in heaven. These were people. They were a certain people. Remember what I told you about the demo day? What do you do when you're going to have demo day? Well, you get the valuables out first. And here they are in a place of safety because it says they were under the... Well, you know what the altar is, don't you? Get this out of your mind too. This ain't the altar. The word altar means this. Place of sacrifice. It's good, Jimmy. They went to the place of sacrifice. Where was that? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not it was my Lord that was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. At the place of sacrifice where he went. And did this, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he sent his spirit away, and he paid the price, the sacrifice. And if you don't go there, and if you ain't found there, you're going to get the hammer laid to you because you're in the place of destruction. Huh? You're in the demo day. And I'm telling you, when they start the demo day, they don't take any thought, bless God. They're just swinging the hammer. Well, God don't do that. God gets his valuables out. And here they are under the altar. And they said, now, Lord, how long before you avenge our blood? Which means they were sacrificed under. When we get on over, you'll see what it's talking about. You'll see. And he said, and it was said unto them. That first they were given white robes. And it was said unto them, rest. You know what that word rest is in the Greek? It's the same word. But this is good, Jimmy. You're going to like this. It's the same word that that rich man used when he said unto his soul, soul, take thine ease. I'll get my own rest, he said. I'll give you a good example. I was talking, and I don't say this in braggadocious, please. I hope you know my heart. I don't. But I was playing in a charity tournament with a client of mine that I do every year. And I was going, it started at 8:30, and I was going to go eat breakfast on the way. And I decided to go to Bluegill's. Now, if y'all have not been to Bluegill's for breakfast, bless God, y'all to go to Bluegill's because it's the best gravy and biscuits there is. Like my mama's brown sausage gravy, and the biscuits are brown. Oh, it's good. But anyway, I was going there. Well, I get out there to where Zach's is at the red light, and I'm going to turn left and go to Bluegill's. Well, I turn left, and the Lord said, no, I want you to go into Hardee's and get you a gravy biscuit in there. Now, they listen, their gravy biscuit ain't nowhere close to Bluegill's. He said, but I want you to go in there, and I want you to give the girl that $20 bill and tell her to keep the change. You know what I did, John? I went up into Hardee's. I went in, and I gave that girl just what God told me to. And you'd have thought I'd give her $100,000. She says, oh, sir, thank you. I could use that. So anyway, I go over and sit down, and I'm eating the gravy. It's not as good as Bluegill's, but I'm eating it and being thankful for it. And two men came in. I said, they're driving these big trucks. And I said, boys, looks like you a little late this morning with the trucks. They said, well, said something went on out here, and they wasn't ready for us. And I said, do you know what that is? And they said, what? I said, that's God ordering your day. You know, it may be that you needed to be hesitated a little bit because there may have been an accident after. He said, you know, brother, I believe that. I said, you know, well, don't just believe it. The Bible says it. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, you know. And he said, well, you know, he said, we got this young boy, and he'd laid out all night, and he'd partied, and he came in the next morning, and he said, boy, I had a night last night. And that guy says, you know, I said to him, well, son, you should thank God that you're awake this morning, that you're alive. You know what his response was? Well, what's he got to do with it? Now, folks, to me, that's the same thing as saying, soul, take thine ease. I don't need God. Well, you don't need God until you need God. See, I need him now. Everybody going to need him someday. But remember Esau? You won't get him. You'll bow. You'll confess. But you won't get him. So he says that's the fifth seal. And then he says the sixth seal. Now I'm going to read that to you. He says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now listen, I've told you this before. It's one thing for for me to say, oh, it was a great earthquake over there in Morocco. You know the biggest earthquake that's ever been registered in the world? That one they had over there was 6.8. The largest one is 9.8. I'm going to read this to you. It caused tsunamis that went from Chile all the way to Hawaii and the Philippines. It killed over 20-some hundred people at that time. Now, that's a big earthquake. But when God calls an earthquake great, I want you to just think about that. You know, maybe you ain't getting this, Jimmy. And God said, let there be light. And there was. That same person calls it a great earthquake. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. That means there ain't never been an earthquake like it.
Yeah.
You know what? If you take a... Anybody ever had a fish bowl with fish in it?
Yeah.
Or a fish bowl without fish? If you take that fish bowl, and it's got water in it, and you start doing this, you know what happens to the water, don't you? It starts sloshing. You know. Well, if you get a little faster, you know what happened? Oh, it gets bigger. And you know what? If you really get that going, oh boy, it really get going, right? Yeah, anybody ever heard that song, He's Got the Whole World in His
Hands?
Well, one of these days, bless God, on demo day, yeah, when all the precious ones are out, I ain't the fish in the bowl no more. Hallelujah, don't you like that? God's going to take this world and He's going to start. Man, He's going to start shaking it. He's not just going to shake the world. Remember, He says, I'm not just going to shake the world. I'm going to shake the heavens. You say, well, how's God shake the heavens? He's big God. He created, bless God, He'll start shaking it too. And it says the heavens roll up. They just roll up. I don't know how that happens. It's going to happen. And you know what? He says, and like a fig tree, bless God, the stars are just going to start falling. In 1 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says it like this, that the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the elements and the earth also. Well, you know what the word elements, and now I'm done. I promise. I'm trying as fast as I can get there. You know what the elements are? It's the order of things. Now, does anybody know how fast we're going right now? You say, well, Tom, we ain't going nowhere. No, I promise you, you're going 1,000 miles a minute like this. You're going 60,000 miles a minute like this. And you can't even tell it because God put it in place. And Hebrews, that same book I was reading, says by His word He keeps it that way too. Do you realize why the sun comes up and the moon comes up? Because God set them in order. And He told them to. You know why you don't have to worry about climate change and the oceans rising and coming over the dry land? Because God said, no, I'm making it so that the ocean, this is where they stop. And by His word, it's kept there. But one day, all bets is off. Because His children's gone. And bless God, He's going to start shaking. And the sky's just going to roll up like a scroll, it says. And the planets and the stars are going to start falling to the earth. Oh God. And you know what happens? You know what happens? All those people that said, we don't need God. All of a sudden, they're running. Whew. They're running. And they're crying for the rocks and the mountains to follow them because the rocks and the mountains are falling and the islands are disappearing and everything, all hell's broke loose, and they now realize there is a God. And they say, hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For His wrath has come on. Here's the clutch. His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? That's a rhetorical question, folks. The answer is none. Nobody stands now. God's pouring out His wrath. That same wrath that he poured out on his son at Calvary because he loved us. And they spit in his face. And they rejected him over and over and over and said, well, what's he got to do with it? And all of a sudden, they realize he's got everything to do with it. Better run to him. If you don't know him, you better run to him. Because one day, it'll start shaking. A whole lot of shaking going on.